The following is a production of 1230 KHAS and HastingsLink.com. High school football is on the air this afternoon as the playoffs hit the second round. Two D2 power teams are all abuzz about the playoff picture. One team will take wing to the next level. The other will feel the sting of a shortened season. It's the Bloomfield Bees and the Gilder Hornets up next on KHAS 1230 and HastingsLink.com. This game is brought to you by B&B Carpet, Hope Home Furnishings, Floor to Ceiling, Advantage Chevrolet, Country Crafts and Friends, Honeycut Farms, JSGK Catering, Robert Shaw Insurance, The Village of Gildner, Joyce Agronomics, The Sitting Bull Saloon, Harv's Farm Supply, Delcom, and Todd's Body and Glass. And now it's time to go live to Gildner Field with Craig Eckert.
Thank you, Rob. Craig Eckert along with Gene Beerbaum here on this bright, beautiful, albeit windy afternoon in Gildner, where we've got the crowd abuzz. A little bit of a pun there because we've got the Gildner Hornets and the Bloomfield Bees kind of facing off here, and we'll see who gets stung. I'll get the puns out of my system before the...
There's a lot of them.
And there really are. Bloomfield is up northeast in the Norfolk area, and they had a... I didn't check.
3 hours.
I didn't check if they drove. I'm guessing they drove down already this morning.
Yeah.
They were here plenty early. We didn't know that they were here, and turns out they had been in the Gildner gym doing some pregame preparation, and they just now came out on the field a moment or two ago. And we're looking at a team that has really been very, very successful over the last couple of years. Nobody was better than them when you get right down to it in D2 last year offensively. They've got Chet Beckman in at quarterback this time around. There's three or four people who had to play quarterback for them. I had a brief conversation with Coach Jim Dooley here a little bit ago, and I said, everybody healthy, Coach? And he said, yeah. And I got some people back who haven't played much earlier this year, and I said, well, where's that? He says, anybody who played quarterback. So they've had a little bit of an injury problem at the quarterback spot, but outside of that, everybody is healthy right now. Gene, let's talk just a little bit here on the pregame show about the probability that Gildner is going to have to go four quarters on this on a season where at 9-0 right now, they really have not had to put forth a four-quarter game.
Well, that will be a challenge for them because, conditioning, I mean, you're always in condition. They practice all week and everything, but when you get under game conditions and actually going at it toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with your opponent, it's a little different than running wind sprints and doing what you do in practice. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Bloomfield. All indication is that Bloomfield should take them four quarters this time, and I don't know if they've gone four quarters. Well, I mean, for the starters, any of their games.
Right.
We talked about it last week. When you only punt twice throughout the season, two punts,
yeah,
your offense is doing the right thing.
Well, I remember at a point last week in the first half. Let me say this again: in the first half, Gildner was ahead 60. That's 6-0. To nothing.
Right.
And they did some situational substituting with their starters in the second half. But it's going to be interesting. We'll find out from Rob Osmond and Jeff Ashby. They got together and had a conversation, and we're going to play that coming up next. You're listening to the pregame show on 1230 AM KHS Radio and on the World Wide Web. Click on HastingsLink.com. We'll be right back with Coach Ashby.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends open house Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Gildner. For more information, call 631-1052.
The representatives of the Village of Gildner encourage and support the Gildner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Gildner.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk anniversary sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Gildner and all the Gildner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Gildner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner is a proud sponsor of all Gildner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
1230 KHAS.
Welcome to the pregame show. Rob Osmond with you. Joining us now, head coach of the Gildner Hornets. Runners-up last year in the state tournament. This year, making another run with a perfect season. Coach Jeff Ashby, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, they keep getting bigger and they keep getting better. This matchup against Bloomfield looks like it's going to be a tough one for you. How have you guys been preparing for it this week?
Well, we've seen a lot of film on them, and they are an excellent football team. Even though they have three losses, they've all been to undefeated teams, and one of those being to Howells. And they played Howells really tough in the first half. It was a two-point game in the first half, and then some special team blunders on their part, you know, kind of got things out of hand. But, I mean, as far as, you know, lining up against each other, they played Howells really tough. So that tells you right there they're a good football team. So it's not going to be an easy task today, that's for sure.
And I know you're no stranger to the challenge, and no one does their homework more than you do out here. But Bloomfield kind of presents a different mix of a problem for you in their attack. How are you planning to cover that?
Well, we had to put in a few new wrinkles on defense to, you know, cover certain situations. It's kind of a unique offense. It's kind of a single wing type offense, and you know, it's kind of tough to defend. You know, a lot of action going on in the backfield, so you really just can't key on, you know, any certain thing. So it's going to be a challenge for us.
Is this one of those games that you've got to, you know, take your senior players and set them down and say, look, this game is it, and you guys have to, you know, focus out here. There's a lot more concentration. You've had a lot of games where, you know, your starters haven't even been really playing much in the second half, and now all of a sudden this game could present a little challenge for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit tougher, and like I said, it's going to be a four-quarter ball game, and you know, last week against Dorchester, we did our no-huddle, hurry-up offense the whole game, you know, till the varsity left, and one of the reasons we did that is so we could get, you know, up-tempo and cardiovascular going, you know, get them tired, you know, because we knew it wasn't going to, you know, last very long. So we wanted to be working pretty hard last week.
Do you find it pretty tough getting your team ready when you make some changes going into the playoffs? And I know you guys have a lot of playoff experience and are used to the pressure that comes with it, but do you find it difficult to keep the kids' minds in it when they have to change so much from week to week?
Well, we mentally prepare, you know, harder and harder once we get to the playoffs. You know, we're our mental aspect of the game, watching film and studying and doing things like that and making sure they know each situation, each formation and everything like that. So probably once you get to the playoffs, the mental preparation is probably as much, even more important than the physical preparation.
What kind of an offensive game plan have you got for Sean Finley and company?
Well, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing. And so he does a really good job of running our option, and we just got to do a better job of blocking up front. You know, I wasn't very pleased with our blocking last week, even though the score doesn't show it, but we didn't execute very well up front against Dorchester. So we worked on that this week to shore up that problem, and then hopefully we got that fixed.
Well, those brackets keep getting narrow and narrower as you guys make your way back to hopefully towards Memorial Stadium this year. Who's got to step up and who's got to make the big plays today and guide this Hornet football club to victory?
Well, we're going to count on all eight guys on the defensive side of the ball to stop Bloomfield and try to keep them scoreless and take pressure off our offense. And that way things don't go just as we planned, and then we can count on our defense, keeping them out of the end zone and make it that much easier for us. So, you know, we count on all eight guys. You know, we don't expect one person to do all the work and, you know, put all the load on him. But we need all eight guys on defense to step up and just keep playing great defense like they have all year.
Hornets are quite the prolific offense and a very tough defense. What's going to be the difference maker in this game? Is it going to be the defense having to step up to stop this this different type of offense from the Bloomfield Bees?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, like I said, it's going to be a challenge. So it's each guy's got their play assignment football and not have a, you know, try to do their own thing. So, you know, as long as they do their job, we'll be okay.
All right, give me an idea, Coach, on how you you expect this game to unfold here today.
Well, hopefully in our favor. So we got to see. So we'll just take it one play at a time and do the best that we can do here today, and hopefully we come out on top and get to play another round of football. So, but it you know, that northeast part of the state, it's tough. So it's going to be a tough ball game.
All right, Coach. Well, we look forward to it, and best of luck to you, and thanks so much for taking some time to join us today.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
All right, you're listening to the pregame show on 1230 KHAS.
All right, thanks, Rob. And Rob will be in Blue Hill later on today to see Blue Hill hosting Cambridge in a C2 matchup on the Breeze 94.5. Mike Will, right after this game, will have St. Cecilia and Donovan Trumbull. So we've got a lot of area teams in it. We've got 8 ball games on our 5 Platte River radio stations today, and we'll recap those here in a little bit. But let's head to what's happening on the field right now. It's the introductions, first of all, of the Bloomfield Bees football team. They have 3 losses, but those are 3 losses that are with an asterisk. They came to 3 very, very good ball clubs. Wayne Brugman is the back you're going to hear a lot today. He had 1,700 yards rushing last year. He's a senior, 190 pounds. Justin Jindra on the line is 210 and a senior. Chet Beckman will play sort of a quarterback position. He's 167 and a sophomore. When I say that is they kind of have this single wing thing going. It's like the Wildcat almost all the time, so a lot of different people will take the snaps. Brett Hopkins, before he got injured last year, took some snaps at quarterback. He's 191 and a senior. Dylan Wilson is a junior, 154. He's another listed in the backfield. Tanner Schumacher is on the line, 200 pounds and a senior. Dominic Lammers is 158 and a sophomore. And Max David is the other lineman at 210 and a sophomore. So those are the Hornets from Bloomfield up around the Norfolk area here in round number 2 of the D2 playoffs. They come into this thing 6-3, and again, they lost to Creighton, St. Mary's. Excuse me, they lost to Creighton, Howell, and St. Mary's. And those are some pretty good football teams to lose to if you got to lose. Now, Gilder has not had a losing experience this year. In fact, one of the things we've talked about is they haven't even had really been pressured that much to have to go full 4 quarters, and they're going to have to today. So how they hold up physically is going to be a big deal. Luke Richards, a wide receiver, 5'11", 150, and a senior. Drew Ott is the tight end. He's still just a junior, 6'4", 226 pounds. And, of course, he'll have a lot of responsibility as a linebacker on defense. Sean Finley, the safety, and quarterback, 5'11", 173. He's a senior. Logan Rath, defensive end slash linebacker, is a junior, 228. And Gabe Harmon, one of the running backs, we kind of list him as kind of the ninth starter because he's in a lot, 5'6", 145. And a senior, Derek Eastman, is the running back, 5'6", 178, and the senior. Nick Henricks at center, 5'10", 242. And a senior, Austin Dodson, played some center last week, as well as guard and nose tackle, 5'10", 302. And a senior, and Trevor Poppin is guard and linebacker. He's 6'2 and 183. We'll take a break back in 2 minutes here on the pregame show on 1230 AM KHAS Radio and HastingsLink.com.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
1230 KHAS.
Back at Giltner, second round of the D2 playoffs. It is Bloomfield coming to visit Giltner. The Bees and the Hornets, the Bees will kick off. And Beckman will attempt to kick off. They run up to the ball, stop, and now back off again. And Hawthorne is back to do the return inside the five. It's a short kick, and it's taken by the up man. The up man being Ryan Clear, who is the kicker. And he got his leg exercised on Thursday night with about 10 kickoffs, I think. But he takes it, and it is... He takes the knee immediately, and so it is first and 10 for Giltner at the 29-yard line, their own 29. Back to Pando. The handoff goes straight ahead, and breaking free is Eastman. He's going to go all the way on the first play from scrimmage for Giltner. Shades of Husker football. First play from scrimmage, and Giltner takes it to the house. That was a run of 50 yards. By Derek Eastman.
Yeah, he just a simple play right up the middle, hand off to him, and right through the line, and he wasn't even touched. He had a nice hole, and Gildner's going to make a statement here early.
We were talking to one of the, let's look for the two-pointer here. Shotgun formation, Findlay, option, Harmon, right side, and he gets into the end zone. No, he does not.
No.
And so it'll remain 6-0 with 11:49 to go. Yeah, we're 11 seconds into it. Giltner has a 6-0 lead. We're back in 1 minute on KHAS 1230 AM.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking security systems thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
1230 KHAS.
Aforementioned Mr. Clear, the kicker, number 30 for Giltner, Ryan Clear, the number 65 sophomore, who kicked about 10 times off last week and took the opening kickoff. Now kicks it off for the first time tonight for Giltner, and bringing it back is Brookman. He gets across the 20 to about the 22-yard line for Bloomfield, and they are up at first and 10, their first offensive possession on this sunny afternoon in Giltner. The undefeated Hornets and the thrice-defeated Bees come at it. They are from, obviously, way out of the section, so... A couple of the defeats by Bloomfield. were from some pretty tough ball teams.
Well, yeah, they're all undefeated.
They got everybody in tight. One man is under center. That is Beckman, and they fake it to Brookman. He goes straight ahead for not a whole lot. He kind of nudged off to the left side, and Beckman gets maybe a yard or so. It's going to bring up a little more than that, about second down and 7 yards to go. Is that 1 yard turned into three on the spot?
That was interesting, that formation. That was about as tight as formation I've seen.
I'll tell you what, that looked like one of those 1920s Red Grange movies.
Well, and it looked like one of those victory ones, you know, where the Chiefs are going to take a...
Exactly. Now, again, they line up in a single wing type of formation. They've got three backs and one wideout. The direct snap this time goes back to the running back, and he fires it downfield.
Got a flag, though.
That, I think, was Brugman. No, it was not either. That was Brett Hopkins. He's a southpaw. And on the defender, there might have been a pass interference call. Let's see if it was offensive or defensive. They were both turning around looking at the ball. But there definitely was some sort of interference. It's pass interference against the offense. And
ooh.
So Bloomfield is not off to one of their finer starts here. That'll bring up a second down and 7 again on the replay. Excuse me, second down, but 7 plus on the penalty. As they will take second down over and mark that back at 10 or 15.
I'm trying to remember when. We'll find out.
He's going to go back 10. He's going to go back 15 yards.
It won't be a full 15 because they're inside the 30, so half the distance to the goal.
They're inside the 25.
About 12 yards is where they got.
So Bloomfield is marked back inside the 15-yard line where they face a third down coming now.
Loss of down on that offensive pass interference, too.
And 20 yards to go. This is going to be, with everybody in tight on the pre-snap, it's going to be tough to give you the set. They've got three men in the backfield again, very tight under center. And now they go directly to Brugman. The big running back goes left side, tries to find a cutback, got nothing. Maybe about 2 or 3 yards. Now, being one myself, I can tell kind of the body language of a southpaw, and they've got like 2 or 3 lefties back there. Brugman is definitely a left-hander. The Brett Hopkins, the other back, they don't list anybody as quarterback or running back. They've got 4 people listed as backs. And anyhow, no matter who was taking the ball, they didn't get it enough yardage for a first down. They will not move the chains and face a fourth down and 17 yards to go. On the first punt of the afternoon, it is Beckman dropping the ball on the foot. High kick, coming back the other way. Hawthorne's got it at the 20. 25, 30, spin move, 35. And to about the 36 or 7-yard line is Hawthorne. The flag is way back inside the 25-yard line. And that'll mark it back. That was a nice return by Kyle Hawthorne, the 5'6 sophomore, listed at 123 pounds. And so Giltner will start out inside their 25. We'll see how far inside with 10-10 to go on the first period clock here. Giltner, as we said, obviously in addition to the Bloomfield Bees, will be facing the distance, the length of a football game today, maybe for the first time all season. And when I say that, they've won their 9 games so relatively handily that a lot of these guys haven't gone a full 4 quarters. We don't expect that to be the case today, although if you're going to go 1 play and a touchdown, I may have to eat those words. First down and 10. First play of the game, Derek Eastman took it to the house from 50 yards out. This will be the second drive for Giltner after forcing a punt for Bloomfield.
Number 6
zip. And the referees are trying to figure out where to spot that ball.
They got a little conference there. They come up to the line ready to play, and all of a sudden now they told Giltner to go back to the huddle.
Yeah, one guy about 4 yards in back of where the ball is spotted. I don't know if he wants to block in the back. They will mark it back even farther. So Giltner will not get it at the 26-yard line. It's going back another 10 yards. Holy smokes, another 15 yards. They had a conference on the spot where the block was. So this is going to put the Hornets all the way back inside their own 15-yard line. It's going to be first and 10, but they're inside their own 15-yard line. Shotgun Finley, out in motion. Finley. Option, left side, cut back Eastman. He's got some running room again and gets up to about the 20-yard line. So nice gain there by Derek Eastman. Brings up a second down and a long four, short five to go for the Giltner Hornets.
Yeah, I think they, on that penalty, I think they were trying to decide. They first marked it off where the play ended, and it should have been where the penalty occurred. That's where the referees corrected it.
Shotgun, Harmon in motion, crossbuck play. Derek Eastman has it. He has the first down and then a little bit more as he struggles across to about the 27-yard line. Derek Eastman has been the man here so far for Giltner, taking the run on all three snaps. The first one, of course, in the first series went for 50 yards to the house. Brings up a first down now on Derek Eastman's efforts. And he must have, in my feeble arithmetic, 60 yards rushing already.
He's got it for 62. So
there we go.
We got six of both of those carries.
Nice cards pay off sometime in life. Sean Finley in the gun, spread offense with Drew Ott in the slot to the right side. Finley pulls it down. Now he's going to run, and he falls forward for about a two-yard gain. Second down and eight coming.
Another play in the backfield. It could be a hold or something against Giltner in their backfield.
These refs kind of look like a no-nonsense set here tonight. Boy, I tell you what, they conferenced on that last one, and
no play.
I think they got it right. Now they pick up the flag on that and say nothing doing. All right, so we go back to the original call, which is second down and 8 yards to go with the no call. And Giltner sends the big guy, Austin Dodson, over center. He's 5'10", 302. Shotgun Finley with Eastman in the backfield with him. Takes a little high snap. He tries to go option, and now he's going to be smothered at about the line of scrimmage, minus a yard or so. And another flag comes in there from the back judge.
Yes. The referee, actually, on this one, the backfield again is Giltner.
Push in the back against Giltner that time again. Now it'll be the second time in this series they've had a block to the back. And it'll be from the spot of the infection, spot of the infraction. And that goes back all the way inside the 20-yard line. So this time Giltner will suffer the down and distance on that. Second down and 20 yards to go. For the Giltner Hornets, they're up 6-0. They scored on the first play from scrimmage, a 50-yard run by Derek Eastman. Now they go in the gun. They've got two men in the backfield with Sean Finley. Again, the snap a little high, and the ball is on the ground, and Finley is able to fall on it, I think.
Yeah, he fumbled, but picked it up twice.
Snaps have been a little bit on the high side, and it has hurt Giltner's timing in getting either the option, which is what happened when the block in the back last time, and this time the ball went on the ground, although Finley was able to pull it down and fall on it. Third down coming, 20 yards to go. They send Luke Richards out wide to the left. One man in the backfield, Ott in the slot. Harmon comes in motion right to left. Option, Finley has some running room, gets up to the 25-yard line. He'll be stopped there. And what that accomplished was better field position for the punt, which we expect to come. And the unknown kicker. No, I shouldn't say that. The Ryan Clear comes in to do the kicking, this time from punt formation. He's notably been the kickoff guy, but they don't punt a whole lot. Let's throw that stat again, including last week, all year long, 9 games, they have punted three total times.
So we've seen two of them, though.
Okay, let's see. No, he's not going to do it. It's Trevor Poppin doing the punting. See, I didn't even know who that was. Okay, Trevor takes a snap at the 15, 17-yard line, and coming up and letting the ball bounce, the return man was the was Alec Wilson, falls dead inside the 20 and touched by Giltner. So it'll be Giltner back on defense facing that very different single-wing type offense that Bloomfield has put together. Again, it's difficult to describe only because everybody's bunched up. It's like calling the numbers out of the huddle. They are that tightly bunched in the backfield. They have a wingman over to the right side and then deuce backs right in back of the center. And everybody goes down in a three-point stance, even the quarterback who takes the snap that time. That's
and
Brookman.
Two plays.
So Brugman takes the direct snap that time, and flags are down on a procedural call for Bloomfield. So they have had a hard time thus far getting whatever that offense is called untracked. They've been held to a punt and several penalties, and now they're penalized on this first down play in this series. They're back 5 more yards. It'll bring up first down, but 15 yards to go for the Bees. As they send Alec Wilson wide to the right side, that's the first wideout we've seen. And again, the shotgun with the quarterback in the three-point stance. He gets it. Now there's kind of a scrum in the backfield.
And another flag.
And a flag is in there. I mean, this is a very, very different-looking thing. Brugman, I think, is the man who took the snap.
Yeah, it's hard telling because they used to...
But you literally cannot see the numbers, and I apologize for that, but it is like a huddle in the backfield. All right, so there's a penalty against Gilder, a face mask back where the line of scrimmage was, so that'll move it up 10 yards, at least 5 yards, incidental, I guess. That makes sense. I mean, when you got a scrum like that, someone might have accidentally pulled a face mask, so it's going to be first down, 11 yards to go now. And everybody is in tight this time. 3 men in the backfield. Strong side is to the right side. The direct snap goes to Brugman again, and he tries to find some running room out of that scrum and can't do it. Ott is in there on the tackle, and so is Logan Rath. And we expected driving over here, Gene, we were talking about the fact that Rath and Ott would be busy guys tonight with... this afternoon with a running back like Brugman, who had 1,700 yards last year. You knew this was not a team that was going to rock back and fire it downfield a lot.
I'm trying to figure out that formation and that all. That is
to say, you would expect these guys to have leather helmets. It's that unusual looking. Now they come with a little more of a pistol offense, and they got Brugman in the slot. Direct snap goes, and a pass to Dylan Wilson from Chet Beckman, the quarterback that time. That was a more conventional-looking alignment with a pistol formation and a slot man to the right, and that slot man, Dylan Wilson, took it and got a couple more yards, but it's still going to bring up third down and a formidable 7 yards to go against this Hornet defense. Clock at 6:36, Hornets out front, 6-0. Derek Eastman took the first play from scrimmage, 50 yards, PAT, was no good, or the two-point attempt was no good. Again, Beckman is in the pistol this time. He's got one man in back of him. Brugman is over on the wing, left side. Back to pass. They go with a middle screen, and it is complete. That's the line of scrimmage, and the big guy who took that, Justin Jindrup, who was listed as a lineman tight end, again, was not able to get up ahead of steam on that tight formation, and it'll be fourth down and 3 to go. And Bloomfield will have to punt again. This will be their second punt. Both teams, save for the one play drive that opened the ball game, both teams had trouble with
the penalty.
Fourth down and 3, and now it's a quick kick out of that formation, right to Hawthorne. It's a line drive. Hawthorne's got some running room back across midfield, 35, 34-yard line. So they did not fall back. Why should we expect them to fall back in the traditional punt formation? Yeah, it was a snap and then a rugby-style kick out of there, but it came out like a howitzer line drive, and Hawthorne was able to get it quickly, literally out-kicking the coverage. And moved it back. He took it just inside the 30-yard line, moved it back about 17 yards, and now it's first and 10 for Giltner. Harmon goes wide to the right side. Finley has suffered the effects of some high snaps here. That was a good one. Hands off on the inside to Eastman. He's got running room at the 25, down to the 20. Derek Eastman, 15, 10-yard line, and Derek Eastman forced out of bounds. He's having a heck of a night already. Derek Eastman picked up about 15 there, and he's already nearing 100 yards on the afternoon. This series, the snaps have been lower, and I see now that they have put back Nick Hendricks in at the center position. Finley in the gun, hands it off this time to, again, Derek Eastman, and he gets inside the 5 to about the 4-yard line. We'll see where the spot really is. I think they're standing right on the 5, so it's going to be 2nd down, 5 to go, and it would appear that a 1st down is obtainable before they have to get into the end zone. So 2nd down and 5 at about the, just outside the 5-yard line. Finley in the gun. Hand off again, Eastman. He dances around. Spin move at the 5-yard line. Fights his way down to about the 4.
A nice spin move by Eastman there to get rid of that first tackler. Just hard running on his part.
Clock running at 4:50 to go in the first. Gilder with a 6-0 lead. And on the drive, after a short rugby-style kick, went right into the hands of Gabe Harmon, and he ran it back 17 yards and sent Gilder up inside the 35-yard line of Bloomfield. I formation now. This time they put Finley under center. Takes the snap. Handoff. It is to Eastman. Eastman is in the end zone. 12-0 Gilder. So Gilder with a short field score.
Just a nice run by Eastman again. Good blocking on the line's part for him. And Gilder's, you know, we had a comment. We talked to somebody before the game that, I don't know if she was a mother or not, but she was saying that the Gilder players were there a little more nervous for this game. And they looked a little, I mean, except for that one long run, obviously, but they're starting to loosen up a little bit. Would we have a timeout out there, Craig?
They're down at one. Do we have an injury? I don't know.
I think Bluefield's looking at it. He's got a guy.
Yeah, they got one guy who's kind of limping off the field. 12-0 as Gilder kneels inside the 10-yard line. They're going to kneel and talk this thing over. They've got a 2-point conversion coming up. The first one was no good. Let's see who's hobbling off the field there for Bloomfield. And it looks to be Brett Hopkins, one of the backs. They've had trouble with injuries to their backs this year. Coached by Jim Dooley, he's kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy, and he said, we've had some injury problems. Now, I said, who was injured? He says, anybody who tried to play quarterback. John Finley in the gun, trying for 2, and it goes complete into the end zone. Drew Ott, and it is a 14-0 ball game as Drew Ott takes a pass from Sean Finley, and with 4:28 to go in the first, Gilder's on top, 14-0. Back in a minute. You're listening to High School Playoff Football on KHAS, 1230 AM at HastingsLink.com.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harbsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
1230 KHAS.
Clyard tees it up again for Giltner. This will be his 2nd kickoff. And back to do the return chores for Bloomfield is Brugman, standing inside at about the 10-yard line, and Clyard gives it a ride and goes into the end zone, and it'll be a touchback. And 1st and 10 at the 15-yard line for Bloomfield, and they have just not gotten the gears working on that unusual single-wing derivative offense that they use. And now to make matters even worse for them, Brett Hopkins is the man that hobbled off the field. Let's see if 17 is in there, Gene.
I don't see him. I think he is.
And so they put Alec Wilson in the backfield, under center now, and handing off straight up the middle to the aforementioned Alec Wilson. He falls forward for about 2 yards. The disadvantage of that tight offense, from what I can see, is that the swarming defense, no pun intended, of the Giltner Hornets they just can't get any momentum on the run. I mean, it's just tough to start when you got people hanging on you all the time.
Unless
you're going to power them through, and remember, they got Austin Dobbs, who's a 300-pounder right there in the middle, so they're not going to run over him. Now they go under center, and that's Beckman hands off to, again, Alec Wilson, and he'll fall forward for two or three, so this offense is trying to play some power football and picking up 2 and 3 yards respectively, and what they've done now is set up a third down and about 4 yards to go. Brett Hopkins was back in there momentarily. Now he's out again. So
looking better, though.
Good news is that we did not have a game-ending injury for anyone. Brugman, we'll keep talking about him because he had 1,700 rushing yards last year. He's off to the wing on the right side. Now he comes in motion right to left. Pitch to him, goes left side. He's got to pick up 3. He does, and spins away, and Bloomfield gets their first down of the afternoon as Brugman carries the pile up to about the 30-yard line.
About 7 yards on that carry, didn't he?
Ultimately, yeah, he needed to get 3, and he got beyond that, so it's up to about the 30-yard line. Bloomfield is not obviously geared as a come-from-behind kind of offense, so they need to take advantage of the time here as best they can. They're down by 14, so obviously to win this one, if Gilner didn't score more, and don't bet on that, they'd have to complete 2 and get one more to take the lead. Again, under center, now they put Brugman in motion again, right to left. The handoff is a quick hitter to Wilson, and Wilson gets a yard or 2. That time he came up quickly to the line and was able to get some yardage on momentum. It'll bring up a 2nd down and 8 yards to go for Bloomfield. They're on their own 32-yard line. On the defense, Austin Dodds from the 300-pounder holds down the nose tackle. Then you got Rath and you got Ott in there at the backers. Trevor Poppin is defensive lineman, linebacker kind of combo there. And then in the free safety position, you got Sean Finley back there. Hawthorne is up at one of the corner spots, but everybody is in tight here as they put Brugman in motion again right to left. This time again, Wilson on the opener. He's got a little bit of daylight there and gets up to the 40-yard line midfield and rolls into Giltner territory. So that quick hitter, kind of a trap coming out, Alec Wilson on the ball carrier. And now Bloomfield gets their 2nd first down of the afternoon. They're down by 14. The clock is down to 2:15. In the first period.
They pretty much want to try to go up the middle. They haven't done too much wide stuff yet, except for a couple. But most of the time, they just seem to be wanting to go right at Giltner.
They go under center this time with Chet Beckman. And again, Brugman goes in motion right to left. Again, straight up the middle, it goes to Alec Wilson, and he'll fall forward for a yard or 2. They do this all afternoon long. It'll be a short ball game, and it'll be an exhausted Giltner Hornet team by the end because they've not faced this kind of smash-mouth field consistently all year long. They've cruised pretty much through 9 games. Cruise? Yeah, let me tell you how they cruise. They cruise to a 553-98 collective margin over their opponents. So Bloomfield looks to be one of their first tests, really, of the year. Beckman goes under center. They got wingman Brugman going in motion from the right to the left, and now they pitch it to him. He'll go left side on the sweep, and is going to get tripped up by his own man. Wilson on the lead block there wasn't fast enough away, and Brugman will get maybe a yard or 2. It'll ring up 3rd down and 5 to go now for Bloomfield. Clock ticking down at 1:01 in the first period. Giltner out front, 14-0, 2 touchdowns. One of them came first play of the ball game by Derek Eastman. Eastman also capped a 34-yard drive. PATs no good on the first attempt, 2-pointer good on the 2nd one. All right, Bloomfield comes to the line, and again, under center is Beckman. Calls out the signals. He'll keep it himself, and he'll immediately get smothered by Drew Ott, who not only tackled, but he was grabbing for that football. He was trying to just slice that baby out of there.
Well, Drew Ott probably outweighs that Beckman. I don't know how much, but he pretty much had his way with him on that one.
We talk about some of these offensive players for Giltner, but Raff and Ott are formidable as the two twin inside linebackers there, and that's tough. Coming down to the end of the first period of play, Giltner takes a 14-0 lead into period number two. You're listening to D2 Playoff Football on 1230 AM KHAS Radio and HastingsLink.com. Back in a minute.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
The Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
1230 KHAS.
All right, first play of period number two. And again, everybody's in tight, save for one man wide to the right. Beckman goes back. They try a middle screen. It's almost picked off. A nice aggressive play by Logan Rath there. He cut off the pass to Justin Jindra. And it would have been a spectacular interception, but it was doable. He got his hands on it.
And it's better off now because that was a fourth down play. They decided not to punt. Go for it.
And that drive took 4 minutes and 40 seconds. And accounted for 0 points. So Bloomfield's going to have to figure out a different way to beat this ball club. They're down by 14 points and taking up a lot of time, and not scoring is not the way to get it done. Gabe Harmon, they fake it to him and give it straight up the middle to Eastman. He's got some running room inside the 25-yard line. Derek Eastman. Nice ball handling there by Sean Findlay. And I was talking to one of the guys that works with us here in the box. He played football on that state championship team that Giltner had in 1984 on the same ball club as Sean and Jake Finley's dad.
Oh, really?
And he said he was one of the best ball handlers ever, to the point where he put it on his hip and the officials would call it dead, even though he still had the ball. Shotgun formation. Harmon this time on the end around. He's got some running room on the left side. 20, 15, Gabe Harmon, 10, 5, touchdown! Giltner up by 3 touchdowns already. 11:29 to go in the half.
That was a nice run for Harmon. First time he touched the ball of the game. And 23 yards for a touchdown.
They've been setting that baby up because they've been faking it to him and giving it to Eastman. And this time they let him keep it and he took it in. A nice run there from inside the 25-yard line. Now they'll try for two. They're 1-for-1 on two-point attempts. Findlay in the gun. Harmon in motion. Findlay, option. Eastman, right side, barrels into the end zone for the 2 points. And with 11:29 to go in the first half, Giltner is in control of this one so far. 22-0. Back with more playoff action on KHAS 1230 AM and HastingsLink.com.
Buy two, get two free right now at your area CPI Mr. Tire. Buy two Quiet Riding Cooper Xeon 2XS, the great handling tire that brings fun back to driving. Buy two, get two free. It sizes P225-45ZR17 2XS and P235-40R17 2XS. While quantities last, along with free rotation, mounting, balancing, and road hazard warranty, only at your area CPI Mr. Tire.
Klingler Embroidery continues to be your one-stop shop for business apparel. Klingler Embroidery has the latest styles in easy care fabrics. Check out the selection of ladies' apparel with matching styles for men at Klingler's. As always, there's no minimum order. Fill-ins are not a problem. For quality work at competitive prices, Klingler Embroidery, helping your business look outstanding. Klingler Embroidery. 306 North Lincoln, downtown Hastings.
1230 KHAS.
After this one, another high-powered ball club, St. Cecilia and Donovan Trumbull. St. Cecilia cruising through C2 so far. That's after this one on KHAS, 1230 AM with Mike Will. Clyer puts the leg into it, bounces at the 20. They have a hard time getting a handle on it, and Wilson tries to bring it back the other way. He'll be smothered back at about the 15-yard line. So far, everything that Jeff Ashby has tried, virtually everything, save for, again, the 1-2-point conversion, has come out pretty well for Giltner. And Bloomfield is just having a dickens of a time getting the gears to mesh here. Early going in the second period. They're down by 22 points. They've used a very, very slow-developing, tight-running game. It's taken a lot of points off, a lot of time off, but scored very few points. They go in the gun. Beckman now keeps it himself. Left side gets about 5 yards. That'll bring it out to the 20-yard line for Bloomfield. And again, just to paint you as vivid a word picture as I can, they have three guys. If you imagine a straight T kind of formation and no quarterback,
they're just all
and they're all down in the three-point stance, and you really don't know who it's going to go to.
They're all just tight.
Yeah, it's
they're
a real throwback. Beckman's calling out the signals, but he's low in the three-point stance, and it goes to Brugman right next to him. Brugman's got some running room that time, though. He's a big guy. At 1,700 yards last year, and he gets a first down plus 5. And so that'll bring Bloomfield out to their 30-yard line on that run. Now, there's one where Brugman and Beckman were right by one another. Beckman obviously was the man calling the signals, but they direct snapped it right to Brugman, who took it for the first down and 5 more. Give some credit there to that center. His name is Dominic Lammers. He's got to know not only to snap it well, but who to snap it to. Beckman again calls out the signal. Direct snap to Brugman again, goes right side. Says, not that way, and he'll be buried right at the line of scrimmage. Ott is at the bottom of that pile along with Nick Henry. You can always read his mind there. He looked to his right, went, not going that way, and turned around, and he got buried right at the line of scrimmage. They'll give him maybe the length of a football progress. Second down and just under 10 yards to go. The ball, even right on the ground, is blowing around. That's the kind of wind we've got here out of the north. Again, that deuce backfield, wing, everybody in tight. Beckman calls out the signals from the three-point stance. Brickman gets the direct snap. Then they flip it forward to Wilson. And Wilson gets maybe a yard or so, but this is some snappy ball handling. And I imagine if it works, it works. But it's not working on Giltner right now.
That was interesting. You're in a three-point stance. The ball snap to you, and you toss it forward from still in that stance. He didn't even stand up.
You know, it kind of reminds me of 2 years back when Amherst played Blue Hill in the playoffs, and they went to that double wing option that Ron Evans used, and Blue Hill wasn't fooled by it. They just kind of stood there and sorted out the ball carrier and stopped him. That's kind of what Giltner's doing now. Brugman takes the snap, works to his right, gets 2 or 3 yards, and it's going to bring up 4th down and 5. Last time that they punted, they didn't go into strict punt formation. They came out of that tight formation, and Rugby kicked it. A line drive right to Kyle Hawthorne, who rammed it back 17 yards on the return.
Well, you're in your own territory, and you got 5 yards, 4th down. They're thinking about it because the coach hasn't sent out a play yet unless he's just going to let the clock run down and call timeout.
It's 8.5 to go in the half, and they're down by 22 points. They got to figure something out, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're calling a timeout. We'll take a minute here. Giltner is on top of Bloomfield in the D2 second round. From Giltner on KHAS Radio and HastingsLink.com, Giltner 22 and Bloomfield nothing.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
Delcom and Giltner is your electrical data networking security systems thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom and Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harbsfarmsupply.com.
GiltnerFi.com for more information.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
1230 KHAS.
All right. Lining up on a fourth down. We'll see if they do the rugby kick again or if they're going to go for it. We don't know because the formation is tight this time. Brugman is going to take it, and he gets to the line of scrimmage. Giltner sniffed it out. Held it will go about a half-yard gain. And for the second time in a row, they'll take over on downs.
You know, I really, I don't know. I guess they're just trying to keep the ball out of Giltner's hands. But they're not really showing a lot of offense, but they're giving Giltner the ball in their own.
Really not for a ball club that really came in here saying, you know, they lost three, but they were really, really good teams. Maybe they just can't play really, really good teams, and Giltner is. They're 9-0.
Yeah.
Shotgun this time. Finley hands off on a pitch to Gabe Harmon, and that's the first big mistake Giltner had is Harmon couldn't hang on, and it fumbles out of bounds. A little late on the play was Chet Beckman, who might have fallen on it, but he got a little late to the play there. But even at that, they picked up a fraction of a yard. Second down coming in less than 10 to go. So starting out at about the 35 of Bloomfield now, which is about where they started out last time they scored. Remember, Bloomfield has not punted but one time, but they've only gotten like three first downs this whole ball game and no points. So they turned it out on the 34 last time. This time, shotgun formation, and they try a little dipsy-doodle with Eastman on the counter play, and he's going to be sniffed out and tackled in about 3 yards deep. And so it'll bring up third down and 11.
That's the first, I think, minus short. Well, there was one earlier when Finley lost the yard, but Bloomfield had that one pretty well figured out what they're going to do.
The only thing that stopped Giltner so far has been a couple of drives where they had some penalties, some ill-timed penalties, not that there's well-timed penalties. Luke Richards goes out wide to the left side, Harmon wide to the right, spread with Eastman in motion, shotgun, fake it to Eastman, back to passes, Finley fires, and his hand is hit as he let go of it. There was some nice pressure there by Dakota Bergerhoff, and that will sniff the drive here for Giltner, or will it? Let's see whether or not they're going to try and pin Bloomfield way deep, or if they're going to go for it fourth and 11 just inside of Bloomfield territory. Now, Finley has been known to do that rugby kick as well, so this is not a done deal that they're going to go for it, although he's in the gun, and he does pooch it. And it's going to bounce at about the 10-yard line. Down to cover is Gabe Harmon, so especially mission accomplished. And Giltner pins Bloomfield back at the 5-yard line of the Bees. The Bloomfield takes over at their own 5. Giltner could not convert the points that time on the short field, but with 7:28 to go in the first half and a 22-point lead, they have put the roadway to pay dirt a long ways away for Bloomfield. They're 75 yards away from any sort of score. Everybody in tight. Direct snap is anticipated this time to Brugman. Goes to the left side, and he can't get uncorked at all. He's a big guy. I mean, I would hate to run into him if he had 10 yards of momentum. Yeah. He'd probably blow you up, but he has not been able to get things underway, and he got
maybe a yard.
No, minus one. They actually mark him back one.
Yeah, they're just having a hard time getting going there, but let's see what happens there.
Well, Giltner has just crashed in on that tight formation there, just is literally nowhere to go. They have everybody again in tight, anticipating the direct snap. Beckman calls the signals. Beckman gets it that time. He's back to pass now. He's going to fire, and it's going to go incomplete. Sean Finley may have made an interception. They say it went and hit the ground. That would have been a gorgeous interception by the free safety, Sean Finley, but it goes incomplete. It was intended for Dylan Wilson out at about the 25-yard line, and that's the first long pass we've seen attempted by Bloomfield this afternoon, but I don't think if things stay this way, it'll be the last time. And they don't look like they're comfortable passing, do they?
Well, I mean, you got a strong wind here. That ball was held up there, and again, like you said, nearly intercepted. Well, it was questionable whether it was an interception, but he turned his back, and that ball may have hit the ground when they fell down.
Ty Alexander wide to the right. Tech Menu's back. They try a screen, and it overshoots the intended receiver, Alec Wilson, in the flat, and it's going to bring up fourth down. So, no, they are not a passing team, and like you said, especially with a win, it would surprise me if their passing game caught fire because they just don't look like they have that kind of timing.
No.
6:39 to go in the first half. Giltner, we talked to a few of the folks, were looking at this thing kind of out of the corner of their eye, like, we don't know about these guys, a little nervous, but they've settled in and they're playing the Giltner game, 22-point lead. This time it's a very, very high snap and a low kick, and it does roll, takes a Bloomfield roll out to about midfield, the 38-yard line of Giltner. And so the Hornets will have decent field position, but that could have been a disastrous kick for Bloomfield. It came right out of there again, very low, and
if someone would have stuck their hands up,
yeah. If Ott or somebody there would have stuck their hands up, it might have been blocked right back into the end zone.
And it looked like it because the ball didn't get 10 yards high, maybe 10 feet high off the ground. It was just ugly.
And that's twice. First and 10, Giltner at their own 37-yard line. Shotgun Finley. Handoff Eastman. He'll get caught field for about a 2-yard loss at the 25-yard line. Nice play there. Nice play there by Dakota Bergerhoff again. He's had a couple nice defensive plays. Now they switch in Evan Kirchy, one of the defensive ends. He's a sophomore at 184 pounds.
The last two plays up the middle for Giltner have not gone nowhere.
They go shotgun, play. And Eastman is in the backfield. Now we've got flag down, and going to be against Giltner because Bloomfield is applauding, and maybe they had too many
illegal motion.
That's interesting. I didn't see that, but
a procedure.
I don't think they either didn't have enough men on the line or too many men on the line of scrimmage, and I think it was a formation. So a procedural call against Giltner puts a third down and a strong 15, maybe 16 or 17 yards until the first. So Sean Findlay in the gun, has Eastman again in the backfield with him, wide both ways, out the slot to the right side. They go option, and it's fooling nobody. Eastman is caught for another loss in the backfield. Coming up is Justin Jindra on defense for Bloomfield, and it's going to be fourth down and a mile to go.
He lost about 5 yards on that one. I tell you that Jindra, I've watched the last two times on Eastman, he is keying on him. He's just going with him no matter where Eastman goes. Jindra's been following him.
You're kicking that baby from the front steps of the sitting bowl.
That ain't all bad.
The third down and better than 20 to go for Giltner, but they're up 22-0. Clock ticking at 5:07 to go, but they're going to fire long, and it's going to be way over the head of Ott. That definitely was a wind-assisted incompletion as they got up in the wind and it carried it farther to the right-hand side of the offense. It's coming out of the north, and Finley and company are working left to right on your radio dial. And the wind
cheerleader had a better chance of catching that one than the football players. The wind caught it. That's what I'm getting at. It really did.
Trevor pop in for only the fifth punt of the Giltner season. And it's a very high kick, and there again it gets caught in the wind. It's going to go out of bounds, and we'll watch the official mark it back up. This may not be a very, very high net at all. Yeah, one guy is standing still inside of Giltner territory. Now they give it a little more favorable.
About 24 yards on that punt.
So it does get into Bloomfield territory, but by only 8 yards, and Bloomfield will take over. After that, yes, punt by Giltner. It'll be 1st and 10 for Bloomfield at their 32. They go straight up the middle.
The ball was
on the ground, but I think it was after the whistle. And the ball carrier on that appeared to be Alec Wilson.
Yeah, it was.
Bloomfield has not converted on the last two series. They took it to fourth down and could not convert. So two turnovers on downs the last two series for Bloomfield. Second down coming with 8 yards to go. Brugman, the big guy, who has not gotten uncorked, but hell-bent for leather when he can. Under center now, he goes to the right wing, and under center is Beckman. Beckman goes right, quarterback keeper, a yard, two, or three, and that'll move it all the way up to the 36-yard line of Bloomfield. So that'll bring up third down and about 6 yards to go. Bloomfield very, very methodical. This is not a quick tempo offense at all,
no.
And it's a tough offense to be in if you're down by 22 to Giltner.
I think they're trying to do like Dorchester did last week, but just time off the clock.
Well, to think that you're going to hold Giltner at 22 and not make any margin on that, that's not clear thinking. Beckman under center. Hand off to Wilson this time on that trap. Gets a yard or two, but again, in on the tackle of Rath and Ott.
Yeah, both of them.
As they kind of close down in on that. And it'll be fourth down and three. And again, in no case this afternoon, same for, I think, twice. Twice for Giltner and once for Bloomfield, if we've actually seen a real-life
Bloomfield calling timeout.
All right, so with that timeout, 3:11 on the halftime clock, 22-0, Giltner on top. You're listening to D2 Playoff Round 2 on 1230 AM KHAS and HastingsLink.com. Back in a minute.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
1230 KHAS.
Is shy of the first down. Wilson takes the inside handoff, probably shy of the first down, as quickly coming up with Giltner. Let's see what the spot is. But it's going to be very, very close, and they're going to bring on the chains for the first measurement of the afternoon. That was Bloomfield's second time up of the first half. It's puzzling here as we approach halftime that they don't understand the seriousness of the situation. They are going to be shy. Because Giltner's probably got 3-4 more scores in them no matter what. And they're going to have to match him score for score from here on out as well, and they're down by 22. Howells is leading Sterling 30-0. That's one of the three losses that Bloomfield had coming into this one. Howells 30, Sterling nothing. That's in the same bracket as this. So if Giltner moves on, they're going to have to play Howells at some point if Howells continues up into the semifinals before they go to Lincoln. Shotgun, Finley. Option left side. Pitch, Eastman has a cutback. Midfield, 30, 25, 20. Derek Eastman, 10, 5. Did he get in? Yes. Derek Eastman with a long run on the option from Finley. That is a 41-yard run.
I gave him 42. He was 30, but that was a 40, long one.
42? Wow. Barely had time to get that one set up on, again, the turnover on downs. And that'll be the second score directly related to a turnover on downs for Giltner. And they're up now 28-0 as they go for two. They've missed one of the two-point attempts. Standing in the gun is Findlay. In motion, Eastman. Back to pass. Looking around. Pulls it down. Shuts the end zone. And it is complete to Gabe Harmon. And the two-point is converted. It is 30-0 here as well. Giltner 30, Bloomfield nothing. Back in 1 minute on 1230 AM KHAS Radio and HastingsLink.com.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
1230 KHAS.
Right, it's a high kick at the 5. Almost takes Brugman to the end zone, but he'll have a return this time. After the 10, Brugman to the about 14-yard line, so actually he'd have been better off by a yard letting it go into the end zone. And it's 1st and 10 for Bloomfield, luckless this afternoon against a very powerful defense by Giltner. Matched very, very well against their single-wing option offense. If you're just joining us, Bloomfield carries a very tight offensive set into each play. And all of the backs, I mean quarterback included, is in a three-point stance. The center has to not only make a good snap, but has to know who to snap it to. And then they option out of that. We've seen them change ball handlers up to twice in one play from that tight formation. Brugman takes the snap that time, but there's whistles on a procedural call against Bloomfield. So it's going to come up. First down at 15, assuming Giltner takes his penalty, and I don't see why they wouldn't. In fact, they have to because it was before the snap. Luke Richards checks in on defense for Giltner. Finley is the free safety. He almost had a terrific interception earlier in this half. He extended himself and didn't quite hang on. That was when Bloomfield tried to air it out. They are not a passing team, as we've said. And down 30 to nothing. This will be interesting to see how they pass the rest of the time here this afternoon. Beckman under center. Got a deuce backfield this time. Looks everything over. Everybody else is inside. He goes option to the right side. He'll be dragged down in the backfield. Wow. In there was Nick Henrich. And he just slammed him down. So that loss brings up second down and close to 25 to go. Ball is spotted way back inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, he faked in the middle and tried to run wide. But I tell you, Giltner's just so tough on defense.
Giltner is got their hitting shoes on in defense here today. Under center, Beckman takes the handoff, goes wide to the right side, and tries to get some running room, does, out to the original line of scrimmage. And it'll bring up third down and 10 yards to go. That was probably the best blocked play we've seen by Bloomfield this afternoon. Giltner strung it out, but they couldn't get a hand on the ball carrier, and he had some nice perimeter blocking for him.
Back to the original line of scrimmage now.
Third down and 10. Bloomfield has punted twice, turned it over on downs twice, and Giltner has capitalized on every one of those except for one time. Snap. Direct snap to Brugman. No, it is not. It goes to Wilson, and Wilson cuts back. He's got a first down and a little more. That's Alec Wilson, took the direct snap on the right halfback side. And that was good fakery.
Yeah, nice run.
But we are not looking down at the numbers. We are looking across at the numbers. And so very difficult to see who's coming out of the backfield. Giltner basically is saying, just get the guy with the ball. We don't care what his number is. And they had a pretty good effort in that regard. Beckman calls out the signals from the three-point stance. Direct snap to him this time. Now they go screen. Brugman's got the ball, and he's going to get a few yards as he gets across the 35 to the 40-yard line. He'll be real close to a first down. I thought that Poppin and Luke Richards were going to get him, but that time he turned it upfield and got the first down. And I think if someone would have laid their hands on him at that point, he'd have probably taken them for a ride because he is a big guy.
Yeah. Nice looking little swing pass.
First down and 10 right at midfield. Beckman in the gun. Has one man. That's Wilson behind him. Takes the snap. Fires. Into the flat. Brugman's got it for a gain down to the 31-yard line. But time becomes a factor now because it's running at a minute 20 to go in the first half. Take a look at some scores at halftime. Take a look at the other brackets and the other games we've got on the air today. Beckman takes the snap, goes left side, and he is going to be hemmed in there by Derek Eastman, who is in the 100-plus yard category on offense and came up on defense, made a really nice tackle on that one, wrapped him up, and it's second down and about 2 yards to go after that first down pass completion to Brugman. Clock stopped at a minute 9 now.
Just what Bloomfield didn't need is a holding penalty. Getting a little momentum going, and well, it's
so the flag was down, and that's going to mark it all the way back inside the Bloomfield territory again. They were down at the 31-yard line or thereabouts of Gilder. Now they're back at their own 35. So Bloomfield is not having a memorable game for the right reasons. 56 seconds to go in the first half. Beckman is in the shotgun formation. The refs are stopping play right now for reasons of their own. They want to reset the clock to, if I read his lips right, I think a minute 7 is what they want on the clock. They want to add about 15 seconds back on the scoreboard clock. At a minute 9 now. Okay, minute 9 is what he wanted on there. So they tacked back 17 seconds on the clock. They wind it. First down and 15 yards to go on the holding call. Shotgun. Beckman back again. They try that middle screen and they got a man and he's got a head of steam and a first down. That's Justin Jindra. Boy, I tell you what, you put him and Brugman together and you got a convoy. And that's a first down with 55 seconds to go. Now they go hurry up. Brugman is in the slot. Beckman is the quarterback out of the gun. He's got Wilson next to him. And a timeout is taken by Jeff Ashby. Let's take a minute here. You're listening to high school football. Giltner with a 30-0 lead over Bloomfield back in 1 minute on 1230 AM KHAS Radio.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking, security systems, thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
The Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
This is Bobby Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
1230 KHAS.
First down play, back to pass was Beckman, and he fired it incomplete. It's going to come up second down at 10 as we nip that very first play. I don't know if the clock is running a little fast on the ref.
But I know.
I thought we had a full minute there, but maybe not.
They come out fast.
All right. Now down in that 3-point stance, three backs in the backfield, 51 seconds to go. Brugman gets the handoff. He's got some running room. Brugman down to the 15, 10, 5. Brugman goes into the end zone. First score of the afternoon for Bloomfield with 44 seconds to go until halftime. It's 30-6. Giltner on top.
A 25 yard on this?
Yeah.
25 yards. And that.
He is not somebody that you're going to take down one-on-one commonly. So with 44 seconds to go, Bloomfield gets on the clock in the first half. They'll go for two here. And again, that single wing, Brugman takes the direct snap, goes right side, cuts back and falls down. And so the 2-point will fail. And with 44 seconds to go, Bloomfield will kick off for the second time this afternoon. Giltner, 30, and Bloomfield, 6. They'll get it back, and we'll see whether or not Jeff Ashby has any intention of trying to build on his lead or take a 24-point cushion into halftime.
I think Bloomfield kind of outfox him a little bit. I didn't think they were going to be passing and playing for the pass. They run right around there.
Well, you know, you keep hammering with Brugman, you know he's going to break one here and there. I mean, you don't get 1,700 yards in a high school season like he did last year by being slow and straight ahead.
Yeah.
He's got a little scoot to him, you can tell that. It'll be Beckman, I think, teeing it up for the first time after a Bloomfield touchdown. They kicked off. We think that Giltner won the toss and deferred.
They got that the weird.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. They kicked off Giltner. Let me try that again. It would be Bloomfield kicked off and they deferred. So Bloomfield probably will get the ball in the second half. And now there's a short kick taken over his shoulder by Luke Richards, comes back the other way, and he'll get decent field position for the Hornets at the 25-yard line. That was a nice kick. And I should say it would have been a nice kick had Richards not come up and taken it over his shoulder and turned it back the other way, because that was going into an area where it could have rolled deeply into Giltner territory. Now the Hornets line up in the spread, and they're wasting no time. I guess that answers the question. 37 seconds to go, and they want more. It is a quick out to Drew Ott, and Ott is tackled immediately as he catches the ball by Tanner Schumacher. And it'll bring up second down and 8 yards to go. The clock stops at 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think got a timeout there, but that pass really didn't gain him much.
No, that was a very quick pass, and it doesn't seem characteristic of someone who wants to fire downfield, and it didn't look like it was a safety valve because he didn't pump.
No,
at all. It didn't look like he had anybody streaking downfield. He just hit Ott out there, and maybe they're just going to see if he could, that big, if Giltner's big guy could square his shoulders and get the kind of yardage that Brugman just did for Bloomfield. Giltner's been in control. They scored right away, and I mean right away. They got the first touchdown of the game, 11 seconds into it, on a straight ahead, hand off and run to Derek Eastman, who went 50 yards with the opening, not the opening kickoff, the first play of scrimmage. And Giltner has been able to capitalize on a couple of field position situations where Bloomfield decided not to punt and turned it over on down. And now Giltner, with a 24-point lead at 30-6, has it in the closing seconds of the second period. Finley in the gun. Fires in the flat. He's got a man out there. It's Richards. He's got a convoy. He's up across midfield and falls down to about the 36-yard line of Bloomfield. And that stops the clock at 23 as they move the chains, and Giltner's right up to the line of scrimmage already. And they go in the gun again. John Finley has Eastman in the backfield with him. Gabe Harmon wide to the right. Richards wide to the left. Good snap. Rolls it down to the right side, looking and to keep it himself, goes out of bounds, does Finley. He had a trailing back in Derek Eastman, but the pitch wasn't there, so he wisely kept it, stayed out of bounds.
Ran out of room.
Ran out of bounds, I should say, but he got a few yards.
4 yards on it.
And it's second down and about 6 to go. And again, they're ready with 14 seconds to go. Watching, try and take a shot to the end zone here. They got wides both ways. Ott in the slot, back to pass. Finley lost it downfield, Richards, and he can't quite get there. Intended for Luke Richards in the end zone. And with 8 seconds to go, they can take at least one more shot that way.
He had him open as he just, again, this tough passing with this
wind. The wind is lousy because we look at the flag out there, and Old Glory just doesn't know which way to twist. It's kind of a twisting vortex kind of wind out there, it looks like. And for all intents and purposes, he'll be coming out of the north, but when the ball gets up that high, it's twisting around a little bit. They got slots both ways. Ock to the right side, and a penalty marker goes down. Illegal procedure against Giltner. That'll make it, instead of third down and about six, third down and about 10, but that's all kind of academic because they've got to get to the end zone anyhow, so another 5 yards on a long pass doesn't mean a whole lot. Jeff Ashby shouts some instructions into the huddle. If the clock stops, they take their full allotment between plays. And coming up over center is Nick Henry. They go with slots and wides both ways. This time Drew Ott is the wide man to the right side. Back to pass. Back to pass and down on good pressure there by Evan Kirchy. And Sean Finley is sacked final play of the first half. But a pretty good-looking first half for the Giltner Hornets, who their fans, or some of them, said were kind of nervous coming into this one. They settled down. I'm not saying it's going to turn out this way, but with a 24-point cushion, things could be worse. We're going to take a minute timeout here, and we'll be back with our halftime update on 1230 AM KHAS Radio and HastingsLink.com on the World Wide Web.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
At Health Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Health Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
1230 KHAS.
Let's take a look at some scores here at halftime. First of all, we're at 30-6. Giltner on top of Bloomfield. If you're just joining us, Giltner is executing the same kind of offense and defense that brought them to 9-0. And Bloomfield brought in a very different-looking offense. It is an offense that is something you might see if you're looking at highlight films from Notre Dame circa 1920-something. It's not really the box offense. It's not really a single wing. It's a very tight, direct snap type of offense. You hear some people call it the Wildcat nowadays, but it's not that. The Wildcat is far more spread than what they're using. But they're putting three backs in the backfield all in three-point stances. So their center direct snaps it, makes it hard, theoretically hard, for the defense to find out who's got the ball, but Giltner so far has had pretty good luck in defending it. It wasn't until 44 seconds to go in the first half that Bloomfield connected on a touchdown. That was the big guy Brugman taking a pitch to the right side and ran it in 20-plus yards for Bloomfield. And so it is 30-6, Giltner on top. Howells leads Sterling 30-0 at halftime. St. Mary's over Loomis 6-0. Those are the scores that we have thus far from around the region. Looking at this particular bracket and what needs to happen or not for for Giltner, now they won't look ahead, but we have the benefit of being able to and not look like we're taking this one for granted, and we won't be. But Bloomfield, should Giltner defeat Bloomfield, they'll play the winner of the Pawnee City Falls City Sacred Heart game. That game is not going to kick off until 7 o'clock tonight. So it's going to be a while if Giltner wins before they know what they're doing next week. The next game is next Tuesday, November 9th. We'll have the Giltner ball game on the air by hook or by crook somewhere. So if Giltner wins today, we'll let you know where that is. But if Pawnee City wins, then Giltner will host another ball game on Tuesday. If Fall City Sacred Heart wins, they have not had a home game yet, so Giltner would have to travel to Falls City Sacred Heart to play them. And that's what's
in Falls City Sacred Heart. Aren't they hosting there or not?
No. Pawnee is the home game here. And so the Falls City Sacred Heart, which did not have a home game earlier, well, wait a minute. They did have a home game. They had one home game. I guess it'd be kind of a toss-up. I don't know. But anyhow, Giltner, for the most part, as far as field position, is hoping that if they win, if they're able to beat Bloomfield here, hang on and not blow this 24-point lead, they're hoping that Pawnee City would be the team to play, because that means they'd host yet another home game.
Either way, that would be a long trip down to either Pawnee City or Falls City.
Let's take a look at some of the other games, by the way, on our Platte River radio stations, shall we? Right after this one right here on 1230 AM KHAS Radio, the high-powered St. Cecilia Bluehawks take on Donovan Trumbull in round two of the C2. Mike Will has Pigskin preview at 6:15, kickoff at 6:30 right here on HastingsLink.com and 1230 AM KHAS Radio. Over on Classic Hits 98.9, getting underway in just a few minutes, they'll be kicking off the Ravenna-Crofton game. We will have that on Classic Hits 98.9. Pleasanton is going to Sargent. Doug Duda, Tony Davis with that one at a 7 o'clock kickoff on Classic Hits. There's two games on KHAS, two games on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. On ESPN 1460, they're kicking off the Loomis-O'Neill-St. Mary game. And that must be underway already. So that's on 1230 on 1460 AM. Also tonight, it'll be Axtell and Overton. And if you can't get the signal, all you got to do is click on ESPNSuperstation.com or any of our websites and we can connect you up there. On ESPN 1550, Kennesaw is at South Loop. And again, that should be kicking off here in just a little bit. Blaine Buehlers will have the call on that. That's going to be played at Arnold. And the Breeze, 94.5. We've got Blue Hill hosting Cambridge. Those two go at it on a regular basis, usually when something big is on the line, like a playoff advance. And Blue Hill and Cambridge will kick off at 5 o'clock. Rob Osmond will have that ball game at 5 o'clock, 4:30 pregame on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5 FM. So that kind of gets us up to speed on the area teams that we are covering here on your Platte River radio stations. We're glad you're along with us. Craig Eckert along with Gene Beerbaum. Middle of halftime, the score, Giltner 30 and Bloomfield 6. We'll take a short break here and be back to check some individual stats. Hang on to that number for Derek Eastman. It's a big one coming up.
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
1230 KHAS.
All right. I'll thank the guys at Sitting Bull sending over another pizza. And this is particularly special because the locals here tell us that Wednesday is actually burger night at Sitting Bull. So they pulled out the old pizza brick just to send that over. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
that's right. That's torturous. They're normally doing that Thursday through Saturday. So how about that? Hey, it's a special afternoon in Giltner. It's playoff football. Giltner on front 30-6, and it's a beautiful afternoon and a big afternoon so far for Derek Eastman, the running back for the Giltner Hornets, who took the opening kickoff 50 yards
for the touchdown, Gildner had an immediate 6-point advantage. Gene, what else?
Well, you know, as far as Eastman, he carried the ball 12 times this first half, and total 131 yards. They had his number there for three plays in a row. He lost about 10 yards, so that's hurt his average a little bit, but he still got a great first half going. Of course, Finley, the quarterback, carried it for 5 times, 8 yards, and then number 22, Harmon, one time, only one carry. Said it was 22 yards for a touchdown. So you can't ask for much more out of the guy.
Well, that was one, too, that they had been setting that one up because they had been faking it to Gabe Harmon, who most of the time plays kind of in a wide-out receiver. They'll set him in motion, fake it to him, and then they were giving it on the counter to Eastman, and he got a lot of yards. And finally, they let Harmon take it. And like you said, 22 yards and a scooter on the end.
And they, you know, as far as passing, they've only passed 5 times, completed 2 for 18 yards. And as far as first down, they've got 5 of them rushing for first down, 1 yard, 1 first down on passing. Bloomfield, on the other hand, Brugman and Wilson have been their ball carriers, each carrying 10 times. Brugman's got 46 yards, and of course 25 of that, half of it that TD run he had right before the half. And then Wilson's got 40 yards on his 10 carries. Beckman, 18 yards on 6 carries. And they've tried passing a few more times. They've tried passing 9 times, completed 5 for 45 yards. They're had a stretch of incompletes there, but towards the end they started connecting and picked up some yards. So they're 4 first downs rushing and 2 passing. So other than that, it's pretty even. Penalties have kind of kill both teams. They came at really crucial times. They got a little momentum going, and next thing, hit with the penalties and kind of slowed down their drive.
You know, the score at the end of one was 14-0 here at halftime. It is 30-6. Let me give you a little bit of a scoring recap here. The 50-yard run we mentioned on the first play of the game by Eastman. Then Eastman had a 4-yard run that capped a 34-yard drive with 4:28 to go in the first, so they had a 14-0 lead there. Gabe Harmon on that 22-yard scamper we talked about, where they faked it to Eastman or faked it to him numerous times, and then time that he was able to get the ball when they gave it to him, he went 22 or 23 around the side for a 22-0 lead. And then it was a 42-yard Eastman run that made it 30-0 with 2:52 to go in the first half. And Brugman finally put the pigskin into the end zone for Bloomfield with 44 seconds to go. The PAT was no good. And Bloomfield at least was on the board with a half dozen, which is where they sit right now. 30-6 down at the hands of Giltner. Will Giltner be able to hang on? Will Giltner have the ability in terms of physical stamina to play 4 quarters? Why do we say that? Because Giltner's 9-0 on the season, and frankly, with the margin of victory that they have had, the margin of victory that they have had being
61-11,
that accumulates to 553 points against 98 points for their opposition. What does that mean? Well, they haven't had to keep their regulars in for 4 quarters for many of the games. And so, as you heard Jeff Ashby, the head coach for Giltner, talk in the pregame show to Rob Osmond, you know, they had to do a little bit of cardio workout and things like that just to make sure that if they had to go a full 4 quarters, that they would be able to do so. And Bloomfield is a big physical team, and if they're ready to kind of hit you in the snoot, the late Hank Stram used to say, then that becomes a factor toward the end of the game. But they want to maintain that margin, quite obviously. It will be Bloomfield getting the ball back here in the second half. They won the toss and deferred, and so they want the ball back. And we're going to give them the ball back in 1 minute on KHAS 1230 AM and HastingsLink.com on the World Wide Web.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking, security systems, thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
1230 KHAS.
We're about ready to tee it up for the second half on a beautiful afternoon from Giltner. The only thing that is a factor weather-wise, a little bit of a breeze out of the north. And I suppose I should check what that little bit of the breeze is, but I'll get that for you. But it has caught the ball a couple of occasions on high kicks and long passes. So to say that the weather has been perfect, I think is probably not right. But on the other hand,
nice sunny day, but it is
a Nebraska wind.
And that's what they say, that so windy that chicken laid the same egg twice.
Yeah,
it ain't quite that bad.
Right. Well, if it was on the south side of the field, you never know. But we have deemed it advisable to keep the press box windows kind of closed here, and we're very comfortable and very thankful that the weather is held up. We want to also thankful of the we always get the guys at the Sitting Bowl, but all of the Giltner sponsors, Aurora sponsors, Donovan sponsors who make these games possible. We thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to come here. Nice folks. And a good football program. That helps. And teeing it up is Ryan Clyer. And he sets the ball on the tee, and it stays there, and it's at the 30-yard line. Brookman is standing for Bloomfield back inside his 5-yard line, and we're ready to go. No, we aren't either.
I spoke too soon.
The football just blew off the tee, and now Gabe Harmon's going to come in and see whether or not he should put a finger on it. Jeff Ashby says, nah, let's give it one more try. Wait till referees tell us to. Again, St. Cecilia, Donovan Trumbull, right after this one, with Mike Will. Not right after, but later on tonight.
Through the end.
Clear gets it in and through the end zone, and Brugman has to go out and chase the ball himself. And Bloomfield will get it first and 10 at their 15-yard line with a 24-point deficit. And 65 yards to go for a score.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what Bloomfield does to get back in the game. And, you know, they had some success passing there towards the end of the second quarter.
Well, they're going to have to do more than minor adjustments to get back into this thing. Shotgun formation, but everybody is down in the three-point. It goes directly to Brookman again, and really not a whole lot of difference. He stood up right at the line of scrimmage. Hendricks is in there. Rath is in there. Luke Richards is in there, and looked like maybe it was maybe Poppin was in there really at the very bottom of the pile. And so no gain on that. It's going to be second down and 10 yards coming. The Hornets against the Bees. And the Hornets up by 24. And again, they line up in that tight single wing kind of formation. Wilson to the left side of the two backs. Beckman, oh, they give it right to Wilson. And Wilson gets the running room across the 20 to the 23-yard line.
And Giltner gets faked out on that one, too. He picked up 9 yards on that.
And me faked out on that one, too, because they had Beckman and Brugman back two-thirds of the backfield. And the center, I said, you got to – I'll tell you what, if this offense is going to work, you got to kind of give your MVP of the center, because he's going to know where to go and get it there properly. Now, Beckman under center that time. Quick hitter goes to Wilson. He's got a first down, but we've also got a flag.
Illegal procedure on Giltner. I mean on Bluefield.
They'll mark it back 5. And Giltner will defensively face a third down and 5 to go on that.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier. Some of the penalties have killed them. This is one here. If they don't convert here.
Dominic Lowers is the center. And like I said, give him a lot of credit for knowing what to do and who to center it to. It is Wilson that time taking a handoff from Beckman. And he falls forward for not a whole lot. It'll be up fourth down and about 4 yards to go. Give him credit for maybe a yard on that. They started this one at their own 15-yard line after having won the coin toss at the beginning of the game and deferred to the second half to get the ball. Giltner was able to take the first snap in the opening of the ball game for a 50-yard touchdown on the legs of Derek Eastman. Everybody in tight now. And again, back to pass is, nope, it's going to be a rugby kick. As rolling to his right and getting kind of an ugly kick off was Beckman, it'll go out of bounds. We'll see how far up the ref will have to work the sideline. He's going to give it to him right at midfield.
Yeah, the problem was is he ran almost to the sideline and punted it running sideways, and he's lucky to get 15 yards out of that punt.
So Giltner with a 24-point lead, 9:50 on the third period clock, and the ball is sitting pretty good right now. They would like to convert this thing into some points.
Right on the
as Hendricks comes out over center. Eastman is in the backfield, and they go direct snap to Eastman this time. Finley in motion. Eastman will keep it himself, and he'll go to the right side. He's got running room. Finley down inside the 25, 20, 15-yard line. And it's Eastman down inside the 15-yard line. I think it was Finley there in the middle of the run, but Finley was split out at a wide. Eastman took the direct snap and got nice yardage from the 50 all the way down inside the 15-yard line.
Well, that's a little
tried at the 40 inside the 15-yard line. Midfield is what I meant to say. The 80-yard field occasionally throws us off.
Back there again.
Now they go to Eastman in the direct snap. Finley is the slot man to the left side, and Derek Eastman keeps it himself straight up the middle, jukes at the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown, Giltner. Wow.
I guess
Derek Eastman having a career night.
No use to messing with having the quarterback handle the ball. Just give it.
Well, kind of a wild. You know what? Type. We were expecting Bloomfield to come out with some adjustments. It is Giltner that changed up their play a little bit. And like
directly to the
hot knife through cold butter, they go from midfield, a 40-yard drive, to Pater. Shotgun to Finley that time. Handoff inside Eastman. He makes it look easy. And high steps into the end zone. And it is now 38-6. Giltner on a roll with 9:23 to go. We'll take a 30-second timeout here. Be back with the Hornets kick right after this.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
1230 KHAS.
Well, Giltner did what they wanted to do, which is to show life and not simply sit on their 24-point lead, and that they did by spicing things up a bit, moving Sean Findlay from the quarterback slot to a slot receiver position, and letting Derek Eastman, the man who has close to 200 yards, if not over 200 yards now. What is it?
171.
Letting him, at the control, took the direct snaps, and he virtually drove the team 40 yards with the help of his blockers and into the end zone, and then the two-pointer he picked up as well, 38-6, and now the kickoff. And Brugman takes it inside the 5-yard line. Big number nine comes back the other way, and he'll be slammed to the ground at the 20-yard line. And that's Raff and Kyle Hawthorne on the tackle. Raff has to come out of the ball game because of an equipment malfunction there.
Yeah, two plays and cover your 40 yards. They kind of like the first half started. They're opening, you know, quick hitters. One play and then the next opening of the second half, two plays.
So let's watch that. Eastman is in at Raff's spot at linebacker. Everybody's in tight on the wing. Hand off, I should say, direct snap this time goes to Beckman again. They lost one guy, Brett Hopkins, who could have been a factor in this ball game for a few plays, and now he's back in there. So he actually took that snap. They've got about three guys that played what you would call quarterback, even though there is not really a quarterback position in this offense. Everybody in the backfield could theoretically get the snap from the center. They're all down in a three-point stance, and it's a very tight formation and very difficult to describe to you who's actually getting the snap. Beckman's calling out the signals now, and the snap goes directly to him, and he's going to be buried. It didn't fool Gilder at all. Buried inside the 20-yard line down to about the 18, and it'll bring up a third down and just slightly less than 10 yards to go. Well, they give him a good spot. I thought he got rolled back about three yards before them, but his knee must have been down. And third down, close to 10 to go now for Bloomfield. Came into this thing with three losses. Lost to some pretty good ball teams. We didn't know how good they were. Right now, not as good as Giltner. Back to pass. Beckman to Brugman out in the flat, and he squares his shoulders and piles up past the 25-yard line, but that's not close to a first down. So it's going to bring up fourth down and 5 yards to go. Bloomfield is not a for certain punting team at any point. We learned that. They only went into punt formation one time. It was a pretty ugly kick. The other times that they've kicked it away have been rugby-style kicks, and the other two times when they had their drive stopped, they turned it over on down. Now Beckman is in the shotgun, calls out the signals. Everybody is in tight. We'll see what he does this time. This time he rolls to his right, and again, it's going to be the rugby kick, and it's going to bounce inside of Giltner territory. It takes a pretty good Bloomfield roll inside the 30-yard line. They're going to mark it at about the 29-yard line of Bloomfield. Not bad that time. So now Giltner will get back for the second time in the second half. They're one for one on possessions in scoring so far. We'll see what they do with their second possession.
Referee get his hat back. The wind kind of took it, and it sailed across the field.
Probably an Aurora, but no, not Aurora. Let's see, where would it go? Fairfield. Shotgun, Finley, handoff Harmon to the right side, and he gets a nice yardage despite the fact there was good pursuit by Bloomfield.
And they got a flag.
Tanner Schumacher came up and wrestled Gabe Harmon down, but that time instead of just faking it to him, they gave it to him. They set up nice runs by Eastman on that. A holding call would be against Giltner. And so that'll nullify about a 5-yard run by Gabe Harmon, and they'll mark it back 10 yards from the point of infraction, and that will put the ball at approximately the 19-yard line, 20-yard line of Giltner. So it'll be first down and better than 20 yards to go. It was a little better than 10 yards minus yardage on that penalty. So that's from the spot of the file, remember. So Sean Finley is in as quarterback legit. They put Gabe Harmon in motion. Finley back to pass, looking for Ott, can't find him. Now fires again into the flat this time. Richards has it, and a completion back to near the original line of scrimmage. But again, a flag is down in the backfield for Giltner.
Thank you.
And so with 7:01 on the third period clock, the clock stops on that incompletion, and or excuse me, on that penalty after the completion. And we'll see what they're going to do here. They're talking to the Bloomfield captain, Justin Jindra. He's a big kid. Jindra is a 2'10" and a senior. He plays tight end, some tight end on offense. And we've seen him with the ball. We've seen him catch the ball, and we've seen him come up big on some defensive plays. And I think they're way back. Holy mackerel.
With the 10-yard penalty, but from the spot of the hold,
So, that was like being a...
They're gonna need GPS to see where the first down marker is.
That's way up 35 yards.
First to the buffer. 35 yards to go. Finley fires in the flat. Luke Richards gets a little bit of that real estate back out to the 15-yard line. And so the clock runs with 6:45 to go in the third, and Giltner will try and get themselves close to the original line of scrimmage as they can. Remember, they've only punted, and I'm going to lose track, they've punted so many times this year. I think they came in here punting three times, including last week. They punted once or twice. I think they got five total punts on the season.
Well,
Finley goes option right side. He's got some running room and gets out to the 20, 25-yard line. And nice chunky yardage that time for Sean Finley, but still well shy of the first down stick. They've got to get actually into Bloomfield territory by a yard before they can move the chain. So it's third down. It's funny. When does third and 20 seem short?
Yeah, give them binoculars to find
it. They had that ball on the Elma before.
Yeah.
Under center. In the shotgun is Finley now. He works to his one side now. Flips back to Harmon. He's got some open field, and they might get that first down, and they do. Gabe Harmon comes across the midfield stripe, and boy, did they string it out. They faked it one way, and then he fired the pass across field. Harmon was out there all by himself, picked up a convoy. I think Trevor Poppin was out there and got some blocking and just by a step got into the territory that he needed for the first down. In fact, he picked it up by just a bit over a yard. They came from third down and North America and picked up the first down. Shotgun, Sean Finley, again, option right side, finds a cutback and gets about 5 yards. And now Giltner is making that kind of play, and they're chewing clock, and that's just what they want to do. 38-6 is the lead, a 32-point lead for Giltner, the people who were runners-up in the state finals in D2 last year, state champs in 1971 and in 1984, are not strangers to playoff football. And the big unknown today was how far into the ball game could their starters continue, because during the regular season they really haven't had to play a full four quarters. We thought this would give them a good test, and it has, but they've handled it pretty well. Eastman gets the carry from the tailback slot. He had Adi in there blocking for him at the fullback's position, and he's going to be real close to a first down there. Third down and about a yard, call it a yard. Third and a yard. Clock at 4.5 to go third. Harmon wide to the left side. Ott again is the up man. Eastman, the tailback, gets the give and go. Got the first down, and he's going to go. 15, 10-yard line. Eastman inside the 10 for a first down. He's dragged down on a touchdown-saving tackle by Brett Hopkins.
20 yards on that run again.
And so now Giltner making it look way too easy for this far into the playoffs against a team that had a pretty tough schedule and came out of it all right. High formation, under center, pitch, left side, Luke Richards into the tailback slot, scoops in to the end zone, touchdown Giltner. So Luke Richards at tailback for the first time tonight put six more on it, and it is now 44-6, Giltner on top.
Well, they're giving different looks there this second half, right?
So Luke Richards, about a 10-yard run. Yeah, they really did, because they had Ott as the up man. Richards took the pitch. Now for the two-point, it's Eastman again, and this time he'll be called short of the conversion, and the score will remain 44-6. Giltner on top of Bloomfield, and we'll be back in a half minute. You're listening to High School Football Playoffs on KHAS 1230 AM and HastingsLink.com on the World Wide Web.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan. where you get savings and service.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
At Health Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Health Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
1230 KHAS.
We're in theory right now with this 35-plus point lead. We've got a running clock. I have my own opinions as to whether or not it really makes any net effect difference, but in theory, they don't stop the clock on incompletions and out-of-bounds runs. Outside of that, they stop it on timeouts. They stop it on, obviously, kickoffs and penalties. 4:08 on the third period clock. Clyer gives it a ride. It's a high kick, and Wilson will take it at the 15. Comes back the other way. Alec Wilson across the 20 to about the 24-yard line, and Rass is in there, as well as Hawthorne on the special teams tackle. And Giltner now back on defense with a 38-point lead in the third period. So, yeah, the regulars are going to have to stay in there. Probably a good thing for Giltner. Yeah, as they move on here, the things are going to get tougher and tougher. So it may be just perfect for Jeff Ashby's guys as far as the number of snaps they have to play. Single wing, direct snap, Brugman, penalty marker down. I think they moved a little quickly there. It might have been Gingra in the line. Procedure, and that'll mark five against Bloomfield. Bloomfield has just not gotten things pulling in the right direction at the right time.
Yeah, they said earlier they get those penalties and they just, man, well, they always do hurt you, but they just sometimes they really come up and bite you.
Let me get you a couple of scores in a little bit. Snap to Beckman, hands off to Brugman. He's across the far side of the field, but they string it out, doesn't get anything at all, and now a late flag comes in. There might have been a little chippy there toward the end, and I'm not sure who they're going to call it on. That came in from a distance. It would bring up second down and 15, but we'll see where that after-the-whistle penalty goes. Personal foul against Giltner, and I don't know why. Either a late hit or a little verbiage. Don't know. Well, that would be unsporting, so it wouldn't be a personal foul.
We'll see. Maybe he'll...
Well, he just said personal foul. He didn't... The unsportsman is the extended arms, and this time we just got that. It's on the forearm, so that is some sort of a late hit or face line. That would be a late hit infraction. Right. And it's a first down for Bloomfield now as they march the ball up to about the 35-yard line and straight ahead and right at the line of scrimmage. The running back just knocked back there. Big old Austin Dyson just stood there. And I swear the one guy in blue and white bounced back off the line of scrimmage. It's second down coming. Give him credit for maybe a yard. As Lammers come up, the center for Bloomfield has done a yeoman job today. I've seen no mistakes from his position. And he has to center to different people. Back to pass. Beckman, ball is batted away. And I think Poppin got his paw up there and knocked it down as Beckman came up to pass over in the flat. He was looking for Brett Hopkins and nothing doing. Third down coming, 9 yards to go now for Bloomfield.
Yeah, it was tipped at the line of scrimmage and fell harmlessly out there.
Under 2 minutes to go in the third. And that's your running clock there. That was an incomplete pass, but the clock continues to run. Shotgun back to pass Beckman. Looking downfield this time. He's going to get hammered by Poppin in the backfield. He fumbled the ball. Let's see whether he fell on it. He did. The sandbag came in after the sandman laid a hit on him. Trevor Poppin that time collapsed the pocket and brought down Beckman. It'll bring up fourth down and close to 20 yards to go. Fourth and close to 20. And Hawthorne is back to do the return duties for Giltner at the 20-yard line of Giltner. this is a straight punt formation this time. No sense even being cute. Beckman.
Oh.
High snap, and he gets the kickoff. Not a beauty at all, but it bounces and does the job. Goes out of bounds at the 25-yard line of Giltner. Looked like if he'd gotten it inbounds a little more, could have taken a healthy Bloomfield bounce, but he didn't. Minute even on the third period clock, 44-6. They'll wind it here momentarily because of the 35-point-plus margin in favor of Giltner. Got a running clock officially. Sean Finley late coming to the huddle after standing with his coach, Jeff Ashby, to check things out here on what they want to do in the last 55 seconds of the third period. They break the huddle, and they're going to take their time now. Why not? Sean Finley goes under center. Eastman, the eye back, and Finley falls down as he comes out from under center. Someone must have stepped on his foot.
He lost his balance or what? It came out and fell. So lost 3 yards.
About a 3 yard loss brings up second down and 13. They don't really have to be overly productive here on out, but no sense sitting on it either when you got your starters in there. Ott goes to the slot on the right side. Harmon wide out, comes in motion right to left. He gets the carry. Goes left side, skirts the corner, got a lot of room ahead of him, 30. Harmon 20, 15, Gabe Harmon, touchdown, second of the afternoon. And again, off of that reverse from the wide receiver spot on the right side, he had great perimeter blocking and he waltzed down the sideline, got into the end zone, and it's 50-6 in favor of Giltner.
60 yards, that kid's got a pretty good average, two carries, 83 yards.
Like Halo. Like last week for the, you know who.
Yeah. Some other team that we like to talk about on occasion.
Well, try not to during high school football, but sometimes you can't help yourself. Shotgun, Sean Finley. Harmon gets the flip, and it goes into the end zone for two, and it's 52-6.
That ended the quarter.
So we'll be back with the final stanza here. In a half minute, you're listening to high school football. In the D2, Giltner is grade A, 52-6 over Bloomfield. Back in a half minute on KHS, 1230 AM and HastingsLink.com.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
1230 KHAS.
Well, Giltner has had their way with Bloomfield here. They took a 30-6 lead at halftime, or into halftime, and came out and scored three more times. It's 52-6 now, and Bloomfield will end their season with four losses, and Giltner will have to wait until later this evening to find out what their Tuesday agenda looks like. They've got one more game to play. They just don't know with who or where, and I don't even want to get into how that's going to be figured out because I just don't know. You hear it both ways. If they alternate home fields or if at some point playoff points or whatnot take over.
Usually the higher point post, but
Clyer's kick goes inside the 15, and someone better pick that up. Brugman does inside the 5, and he's going to come back the other way, and he'll be pulled down by Derek Eastman and also Garrett Poppin, who came in there on special teams. He's just a freshman. And so Jeff Ashby is trying to work some of the underclassmen in on situational deals here. But for the most part, he's keeping his starters in. He's getting the word, obviously, that but he's kind of agreeing, I guess, with the concept that at some point his guy's got to play a full four quarters, and he's getting him in condition by keeping him in here with 11:18 to go in the ball game. Brugman takes the pitch, got some running room, has a cutback. Brugman, the big guy, gets a gouging 20-yard gain out to nearly midfield.
And nice run by Brugman that time.
He is not a speedster, but he is smooth and he is big, and he'll take people with you and break tackles along the way, and he does that. And so that's another first down for Bloomfield. Unfortunately for Bloomfield, I think we can count the number of first downs they've had on two hands.
Yeah, you can.
Beckman is under center. He's got wings both ways. Brugman comes in motion from the left to the right. They hand it off on the crossbuck straight up to Wilson, and he's going to be stopped right at the line of scrimmage. Drew Ott is in there at the bottom of the pile. Also give some credit there to Austin Dodson on defense. Rath and Ott came into this thing as the inside linebackers, thinking they'd really have their hands full, and indeed they've made a lot of tackles, but they've made it look a lot easier than I think we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And again, under center, Beckman. He put Brugman in motion from the right to the left. Pitch Brugman left side. Can't find a cutback, tries to reverse his field. Now he takes a man with him and goes back to the left side and gets two or three more yards. I tell you what, that showed some power, but really no blocking. I mean, everything he got there was all on number nine.
And he was, he broke some tackles to get the 5 yards that he did.
I mean, and some of this stuff, when they've got that that single-wing offense, if they'd have a lick of blocking on the perimeter, they might have been able to do some damage this afternoon, but it just gets ugly when after they snap the ball to the running back. Wilson is in the backfield now, and he'll get the carry from Beckman, and he'll get... And the ball pops out, and right there, caught in midair, is the football, and it goes back over to Giltner. Sean Findlay caught the ball as it popped out of Brugman's hand, or rather out of Alec Wilson's hand.
You know,
that's the first turnover of the afternoon. And
you know why that fumbled?
Why?
Remember when Drew Ott was trying to pull the ball out? He's the one that did it.
Wow.
He came in, he was coming around the guy, and he grabbed the top of the ball, and he just jerked it real hard on the top, and it just flew straight up in the air.
So Sean Finley gets credit, but Drew Ott... Conflict, and Finley's under center now as Giltner is back on offense. They feed it to the tailback, who is Gabe Harmon this time. And Harmon will get a yard or two.
Oh, that's going to hurt his average.
Yeah.
Instead of 41 yards of average, get my yard on that one.
Ott comes back in now. Harmon comes out. Ott has played a little bit of fullback, and now we've got Finley replacing his brother. Jacob Finley comes in and takes Sean Finley's place. Sean has done a heck of a job here, not only today, but all year long. Under center is Jacob Finley now, and the handoff goes to Drew Ott, and Ott will show some of that power that makes him a tight end and linebacker to be reckoned with. Gets up to midfield. It'll be third down coming, and 6 yards to go. Harmon back in. This time Dodson comes out. There's some interesting line shifting.
Yeah,
they take out a 302-pounder and put in a 145-pounder. Now they spread it out, and that's why. They go wide both ways. Ott is the slot man to the right, single setback. Harmon in motion, feed it to Harmon. Ball is on the ground. He can't handle it, and Bloomfield gets it back. That is the first miscue of that proportion as we got back-to-back fumbles now. And so it eats up clock, but doesn't aesthetically do much good for
Well, Giltner. I think that's just new quarterback.
Yep.
It's a third play for him in there. And it was a high – I've noticed that they've been getting a lot of high snaps on that shotgun as Giltner runs. And that throws them out of kilter a little bit because they've got a guy in motion coming in front of the quarterback.
So the ball is spotted at the Giltner's 34-yard line. And Bloomfield, with that tight formation on the single wing, they go and fire the ball downfield, and it is complete to Beckman, and he rolls down inside the 1 yard line. That was Brett Hopkins, the southpaw, who got dinged up earlier, and actually got dinged up earlier in the year and then dinged again earlier in this game. Hasn't played a whole lot, but he showed why he could be valuable to this ball club, because he just reared back and let it rip, and that was about a 35-yard completion for Bloomfield. They're now down in the red zone, deeply inside the 2-yard line.
Did you catch who caught that?
Yeah, that was Beckman caught that. off of Brett Hopkins. And Beckman is under center. Handoff goes to Alec Wilson. He'll get into the end zone. And a touchdown by Bloomfield. Too little too late, though. That only closes the margin to 40 points with 6:25 to go in the in the football season for Bloomfield. They'll go for two here, obviously. And Wilson made that touchdown on a one-yard run. They'll try for two. Wilson is in the backfield with Brugman and Beckman. Brugman goes in motion. Snap to Beckman. Option right side. Beckman keeps it but doesn't do any good. He falls down and no two-point conversion. So the score remains 52-12. We'll be back with the Bloomfield kickoff in 30 seconds on KHAS 1230 AM. And HastingsLink.com. Again, your score, 52-12. Giltner in command by 40.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Go on the clock. Bloomfield is ready to kick off. It'll be Beckman doing the chores. Hawthorne is back inside his 15-yard line to return it. They have not had any driving kickoffs at all. They've been mostly short when they've had the kickoff.
Gildner's expecting it again because they've got seven guys right up there. And
they do this kind of strange thing. Everybody's bunched up, then they run to the football, then they stop, now they come back and spread out. I don't know what that's all about. Some teams do that. Now it's a high end. He tops the ball and he just kind of squibs down to about the 30-yard line. And falling on the ball is popping.
He said he topped and he bounced yesterday. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but that was a funny
thing. They're a pretty basic football team. Power run. Not much of a passing game and not much in the specialty category either, but somehow they got here in the second round of the playoffs and Giltner's pretty much had their way with him, and Eastman gets the handoff, and he gets across the 30 to the 35 or 6-yard line. Let's see where they mark his knee down at 36 and a half, just shy of the 37-yard line. Second down coming for Giltner. The clock running at 5.5 to go in this one. Giltner will climb to 10-0 on this. They will play the winner of the St. Mary's and Pawnee game. That doesn't kick off till 7 o'clock tonight. So they won't know who they're going to play until well into the evening hours. Sean Findlay is back in at quarterback. Eastman and Harmon are the running backs. He's going to drain that clock as much as he possibly can. High snap, pulls it down. Option, keeps it himself. Left side, got some running room, 35, 30-yard line, and down to the 26-yard line of Bloomfield for Sean Findlay. And that's looking way too easy at this point. It is Bloomfield that looks tired and discouraged late in the ball game, and Giltner looks very, very fresh.
Well, they do. Giltner, we were wondering what they look like. They're going full steam here pretty good.
Yeah. And again, the reason we say that is because they had such a high-powered attack that a lot of these guys didn't have to play four quarters. But Jeff Ashby's keeping them in longer today because things get tougher as the brackets get smaller. Hand off by Findlay again to Harmon, and Harmon skips the beat and gets up across the... Check that. That's Derek Eastman. Gets a yard or two. He's had a heck of a night. He's got to be at 200 yards. Or very, very close.
Yeah.
So Derek Eastman at 200 yards. Gabe Harmon getting about a century's worth on fewer carries.
205. I got it.
Second down coming, 8 yards to go. Sean Findlay is still in there. Jacob Findlay has played a little bit of quarterback, and now they're back to the starters again. Off the slot man to the right side. Luke Richards wide to the left. draining the clock again, kind of a high snap. Finley's able to handle it. Now middle screen, Ott's got the ball, and he's got some running room, and he cuts back down inside the 20-yard line to about the 15, and he's going to be close to a first down. They have not singled it yet. I thought for a second there that he was a little bit slow getting up, but not at all. I think he just had the other guy caught underneath him, and he didn't want to get up off the turf. First down on that completion to Drew Ott. And now Harmon goes wide to the right side. Luke Richards wide to the left. They stay in the spread. Derek Eastman, the lone setback in the shotgun with Sean Finley. Dodson is back in at center. He's the guy that's had kind of the high snaps, and this is probably a great time to give him some practice on repetition because he certainly is the bulk that they want in there. That time, a good snap. Handoff to Eastman. He's got some running room down inside the 10-yard line.
That was good.
He was really battling for every yard. He has not turned it off at all, despite a 40-point lead for his team. And now Ott is back in there. Derek Eastman with 205-plus yards. And it's going to be second down and about a yard to go. Deep in Bloomfield territory again. 2:20 to go. In this one, we'll have a brief post-game report, send you back to KHAS Studios, and then Mike will bring you the St. Cecilia-Donovan Trumbull game in a little bit. Hand off Eastman, and he'll be stopped near the line of scrimmage.
I think he had a burst, though.
That C2 matchup between Donovan and St. Cecilia will be preceded by the kickoff pregame show. Hastings St. Cecilia will kick off their game with Donovan Trumbull at 6:30 this evening. Mike will with the pregame about 6:15. Donovan Trumbull getting into the second round for a slower start to the year. Finley is under center. 90 seconds to go in this one. Eastman the lone setback. Everybody else is in tight. Now they're going to call a penalty flag, and we got an offside against the defense. Bloomfield committing an error that'll cost them half the distance to the goal line. Puts the ball down at the 2.
Yeah, not what you need when you're on your own goal line and then jump offside.
I'm not sure they didn't just line up offside that time. And again, Sean Finley is just draining as much time off the clock as he can as they approach the 1 minute to go mark in this ball game, and he'll just take a knee.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to start doing that.
They're not trying to run up the score anymore than they already have, and so he'll just take a knee here. And if Bloomfield will oblige, they'll end this one at 52-12. Comes up second down and goal to go. In the victory formation with Drew out next to him and Gabe Harmon in tight as well. Finley lets the clock tick down and again kneels on it. So Giltner will not run it up anymore, and they're going to take a 52-12 win into round 3 of these D2 playoffs. And we'll have the Hornets next week. On Tuesday, we don't know the opponent, we don't know the location, we don't know the time. But outside of that, we know we'll be there somehow. We're flying blind into this one, but we'll get there somehow. Giltner did their job this afternoon handling Bloomfield very handily after being a little bit concerned about how and who Bloomfield really was. I think that the reputation of that single wing kind of had them concerned a little bit. I'm sure they had some game tape that made the defenders wonder whether or not they'd rise to the task, and boy, they sure did.
Yeah, they did. They played very well.
Final score again, 52-12. We'll take a 2-minute timeout here, get back to wrap things up on KHAS Radio, 1230 AM, and HastingsLink.com on the World Wide Web.
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner is a proud sponsor of all Gildner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist. Is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
1230 KHAS.
All right, back again post-game. We'll try to wrap things up here individually. Let me give you some scores around the area, or at least concerning area teams. Up in Crofton, Crofton has a 14-0 lead over Ravenna. That's after one. Howell's leading Sterling at halftime 36-0. It is Loomis trailing St. Mary 12-0. And Elgin Pope John is losing to Alma right now 22-12. And we just wrapped this one. Giltner over Bloomfield, of course, 52-12. Kickoff for Donovan Trumbull and St. Cecilia right here on KHAS is coming up at 6:30. Mike Will with the countdown to kickoff show at 15 minutes before then. You can hear the Ravenna Crofton rest of that game on Classic Hits 98.9, and then Pleasanton is at Sargent. We'll have that one on the kick about 7 o'clock for that. On ESPN 1460, we've got that Loomis O'Neill St. Mary's on. And tonight it'll be Axtell and Overton, 7 o'clock kickoff. That's on 1460 a.m. On the other half of the Superstation on 1550, Kennesaw plays South Loop in Arnold. And we don't have a score on that, but that we should have been getting scores on that. And I don't have one for you, so hopefully we can get that. On the Breeze at 5 o'clock kickoff, 4:30 pregame, Rob Osmond will bring you Blue Hill hosting Cambridge in that C2 clash. And then next week, depending obviously on the outcomes and who's playing and when they're playing, we'll give you the total lineup. But remember, you can always go to HastingsLink.com, HastingsLink.com, and right on the front page we'll have the matchups for you and the times and go from there. On the bracket here, again, Giltner knows not what they're going to run into next week. We think that if Pawnee wins, it's here. Yeah? Yeah, that is for sure. If Pawnee Pawnee City in the other bracket wins, then we're back here at Giltner next week, and we don't know what time the kickoff will be, but we will be here. Pawnee City is playing St. Mary's, and let me find the particulars on that. Pawnee City got to the quarterfinals here by beating Hampton 72-0, and Falls City Sacred Heart got by Lewiston 14-0. So, you know, you got to think that Pawnee City going into that one at 8-1, Gene, would be favored over Falls City Sacred Heart, which would be 7-2 based on that margin. But that's about all we have to go on. But if Pawnee City wins next week, it'll be here. Falls City Sacred Heart should win. Not sure where it will be, but we will have the Hornets back on one of the radio stations, the Platte River Radio, at that point. Here's the way things started. Very fortunately for Giltner. because despite losing the coin toss, the first play of scrimmage when they got the ball, Derek Eastman ran it 50 yards for a touchdown, and so 11 seconds into it, they had a 6-0 lead. Eastman repeated the feat, not the length of the run, but the run to pay dirt. It was a 4-yard run about 7 minutes later, made it 14-0 on that 4-yard run, capped a 34-yard drive for Giltner. Third score for Giltner, Gabe Harmon. After they set up the play numerous times by giving the ball to Derek Eastman and previously faking the ball to Harmon, Harmon finally got the ball and scampered 22 yards around the end and made it a 22-0 score. It stayed that way until Derek Eastman had a 42-yard run with 2:52 to go in the second period and a 30-0 lead. Brugman for Bloomfield was able to put his team into the scoring column with a run of 20 yards, I should say, to close out the first half, and it was a 30-6 lead for Giltner at halftime. But Giltner, we here in the box looking for Bloomfield to come out and change things up a little bit because they were down by 24 points. They came out looking the same. Giltner changed things up, and as they came out on offense in the second half, Derek Eastman took the direct snap. And Sean Finley, the quarterback, was in the slot position. Finley literally drove all 40 yards on those direct snaps. I should say, yeah, Eastman literally drove all 40 yards with the help, obviously, of his blockers. Mm-hmm. But the direct snaps to the running back, and it was 38-6 with 9:23 to go in the third. Luke Richards in a tailback capped a drive with a 10-yard run, made it 44-6. Gabe Harmon then took it 60 yards in the third period with 10 seconds to go in the third period, made it 52-6. And a late long pass and 1-yard run by Bloomfield made it 52-12. Giltner was down deep in Bloomfield's territory at the end of the ball game, but chose to kneel on the ball. And it remained 52-12, a 40-point win for the Hornets over the Bees. Let's take a look at some of the individual scoring, Gene Beerbaum.
Sure. Well, you know, look at Bloomfield first. Brugman had 59 yards rushing on 14 carries. Wilson, about the same, 53 yards on 14 carries. And the Beckman had 6 yards, and Hopkins and Jindrup each had a few yards in there, but their total rushing yards was about 122 yards. Passing, total in the game, 7 of 12 for 80 yards. So actually, their passing wasn't too bad. I mean, 7 of 12, 80 yards. They had 8 first downs. Kind of ironic, or I don't know if ironic's a word, but they had 8 first downs. Giltner had it for about 12 first downs. Not a lot of difference there, but Giltner's plays were so big. We'll look at their stats there quick. They had, of course, as you've been talking about, Eastman, 216 yards on 20 carries, so his average is looking real good there. He's been averaging about 159 yards a game, so well over his average. Finley had 31 yards on 11 carries. Harmon, only 3 carries, but 84 big yards, and 2 touchdowns on 2 of those, so 3 touches and 2 touchdowns, pretty good for the young man of Harmon. Passing-wise, they total were 5 out of 8, 54 yards, so 343 yards rushing, 54 yards passing. And I think the thing that, if the coach is going to look at this game as far as Giltner is concerned, and say, where are we going to improve penalties? And well over 75 yards in penalties, and you just can't do that in a tighter ball game. And we know that they're going to start seeing that. I mean, just get the competition is going to get tougher all along. So I think one area for Giltner is going to have to look at it.
Yeah, and again, you'd have to look at the film. But a couple of those larger penalties involve blocks to the back, and, you know, that could go either way, I guess.
Yeah, they're hustle penalties. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So, All right, well, that's the way it is. And Giltner coming off again with a big-time win, 52-12 over over Bloomfield. And until Tuesday, when Giltner will play, but we don't know when or where, we will talk to you on one of our Clyde River radio stations, in theory either here on 1230 AM or KLIQ FM 94.5. Okay. Well, Gene, thank you so much again. It was a beautiful afternoon. And Giltner's folks are still enjoying it on the field. They're standing around enjoying the sunshine and the breeze and congratulating one another on another successful football season. They climbed to 10-0 on the year. And Bloomfield closes out their season with six wins and four losses. So congratulations to the Hornets. We'll see you next week at some point. Thanks to all the sponsors in and around the Giltner area, the Aurora area, Hastings, Donovan. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, have a great evening.
The preceding was a production of KHAS 1230 and HastingsLink.com. Today's game brought to you by Country Crafts and Friends, Honeycutt Farms, JSGK Catering, Robert Shaw Insurance, The Village of Giltner, Joyce Agronomics, The Sitting Bull Saloon, Harv's Farm Supply, Delcom, Todd's Body and Glass, and by B&B Carpet, Hope Home Furnishings, Floor to Ceiling, and Advantage Chevrolet. Today's broadcast, a production of KHAS 1230 and HastingsLink.com.